The Lord has something for you. And you know, I often ask myself a question. There are many things that keep people awake at night. There are many things that occupy the minds of men. Many. Some people, it's rent. Some of them in this place right now. Rent, where is rent going to come from? For some other people, it's health. For someone else, it could be in general something financial. Who knows? There are things that keep people awake at night that occupy the minds of men. Now, listen to me carefully. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "It has been given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom." Okay? He speaks to them, he says, "It has been given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom." Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16, the scripture that I quoted at the beginning, talks about going back to the ancient paths. Okay? Ancient paths. It says go back and look at the ancient paths. Now what that actually means is that you go back to the ancient secrets and try to find out how people of the past did things. Because as we moved on, we have become lazy. Now, listen to me very carefully. When I looked through history, I began to, and these are the things that actually keep me up at night. The things that occupy my mind. It's not rent. It has nothing to do with our finances. It has nothing to do with our health issues, nothing like that. The things that keep me awake at night are things like this. I look through and I found that there are mysteries in scripture. There are secrets of things in the Bible and in history that people knew that a few have today, and the rest, if they were diligent enough, they could be able to capture them. So take for example, I was with someone last night and I was explaining to them that it's interesting that if you look through scripture, when Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples, never once did he lay hands to impart. 3.5 years. And yet these guys walk away with power. What happened? How? We know impartation is laying hands. He spends 3.5 years, does not lay hands on them, but somehow they operate in power and anointing. Amen. There's a mystery right in there. The Bible says that the Bible says that Elijah knows that his time is up. He walks from city to city and he knows somehow by the Spirit. The Bible doesn't say God is speaking to him. He knows that if he goes beyond Jordan, there will be a portal in the heavens that will open up and he will be taken up. The Bible says he goes through 4 cities, ends up past the 4th, right? 3 cities, ends up past the 3rd, and then waits. He knew something. You understand? He knew something. The Bible doesn't say God spoke to him. Scripture says, and these are the things that really occupy my mind at night. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2 that Jesus goes to a house and is teaching inside a house. And the Bible says all of a sudden, people came from everywhere because Jesus was in the house. How did they know? There was no publicity. I know if you're getting what I'm saying. Actually, the scripture goes on to say that there were too many people that a particular group of guys decided to lift someone who was sick, open up a roof, and lower them down. What was it that made people come to Jesus without a public address system, no Facebook, saying today there's fellowship? What is it? These are the things that, you know, really keep me up at night. The Bible says that there was a father who ran to Jesus. He had an epileptic child. The child kept convulging. And scripture says he comes to Jesus and says, if you're able to do something, please do it. And Jesus says, if you have faith, anything is possible. Amen. Then the Bible says he casts out a deaf and dumb spirit from an epileptic. Now you guys, Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Somehow he looks at an epileptic and knows this is a deaf and dumb spirit.
Amen. Amen.
There are mysteries There are mysteries in the Bible. There are secrets that people had that the Bible refers to in Jeremiah 6:16 as ancient secrets, ancient paths that people along the way began to tap upon. So if you look through history, you know on this continent, there are men like Benson Idahosa, anointed men of God. There's a man called Joseph Babalola, an apostle of God. 1928, he's on a steamroller and he has a voice saying, Joseph, Joseph, I've called you to ministry. From that day, he begins to operate. He did not know what it felt like to pray for someone, to pray for healing, and it doesn't happen instantly. Every single prayer was instant healing. This is a man who existed, African man. Nigerian, the apostle, an apostolic on a man. The Bible says, now, am I boring you? Okay. Yeah? Now, the Bible says, some of you know, there's an evangelist called A.A. Allen, man of God. Someone came to him with crocodile skin. He peeled it off and simultaneously skin grew.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
That man knew a secret.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Bible says of a man called E. Actually, not the Bible. Actually, the history says, E.W. Kenyon, man of faith. He would look at a fracture, bone fracture, and instantly it gets back together.
Amen.
Today you're just believing God for, can I just pray in tongues? These are the things that keep me awake at night. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There are ancient things that people stumbled upon, men and women of God. Even today, a prophet stands, looks at a camera, and warns a head of state. And the country waits for a reaction. And nothing happens. There are realms, you guys, there are secrets that men have tapped into that are meant to be for all of us, but somehow we have entered a comfort zone. Now, that is not what I'm going to share. What I need you to understand is that today I just want to give you a number of principles, laws in the spirit, because there are things that you can do to actually get results. It is a mystery for your life, for you to be a Christian, to desire things, and there not be any results in your life. It's actually, you are a mystery. You're a mystery. So there are laws and there are principles. There are things that men have stumbled upon, things that we call the ancient paths. I'm going to give you a number of principles. Now, there are many things that I myself stumbled upon that have almost made me get instant results in particular areas.
Amen.
And the reason why sometimes we keep them as secrets is because you don't want to cast your pearls to the swine. You give someone something and they don't treasure it. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. Yeah? Now, here's the biggest thing. This ministry is called the Atmosphere of Revelation. Now, let me explain something. What usually gets people is that what you need to understand is that people come here. I've met people who come for various degrees of revelation. Not only in this ministry, other ministries. And so, a person becomes a storehouse of revelation. Now, the problem comes when you grasp different revelations, but they can't help you because revelations are applied sequentially.
Amen.
I've started teaching.
Amen.
You with me?
Yeah.
Revelations are applied sequentially. The Bible says, Father, remind me. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 to 10. That's what the Lord says. I believe that's it. Whom shall he teach knowledge? This is referring to the Lord. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk, those who start from baby class, and drawn from the breasts, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That is scripture truth. That you see, the thing is that it's not enough just to grasp revelation. You must apply it sequentially. Are you with me? When a person gets a revelation but does not apply it sequentially, they will get a result, but they won't know how it came.
Amen.
Now, I know I'm talking to many of you here.
Yes. Amen.
So, somehow, you went, tried to prophesy, and you got a name right. And you get excited, then you try again. Somewhere, there's a principle you applied, but you did, it worked, but you don't know what the principle is, so you can't replicate it. Praise the Lord. And you see what's killing many people, especially this generation, is the desire to grasp a lot of revelation but not apply it sequentially. In the spirit, the moment you get something and it can be taken away, you didn't understand how you got it.
Amen.
Because even if they took my car, and I know how to get a car,
amen,
they can take the car.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's why we say a spiritual man cannot be stolen from.
Amen.
Or robbed.
Amen.
In the very sense. Because you're taking something physical and you're missing the real substance of the thing.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So things in the spirit, revelation must be applied precept upon precept, line upon line. And I've said it before that, for example, the problem comes when someone just gets born again and the first message they hear is prosperity. Hear me. The thing is that prosperity is part of scripture. It is the desire of the Lord. But a person, when they've just got born again, they will chase money and not build character to hold it. And it will destroy them. I get what I'm saying? Huh? In fact, I'm a prosperity preacher. If you say so. But I'm telling you this, that means that the foundation, there must be a foundation of character before I introduce you to money.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, there are laws in the spirit. They're extremely a number. Some of them I've stumbled upon. The Lord has taken me through a number of things. Recently, I was in a parking lot somewhere and I was seated. And the Lord began to show me a few things. And he said, okay, now you've learned this. You've learned how to bring this. This is the next step of what you need to learn.
Amen.
And by the way, that is how your relationship with God is supposed to be.
Amen.
Not random, not haphazard. It says, today let me prophesy, today let me try to heal, today. Yeah? Just hitting everywhere. You're easily shaken. And the issue is this. That if revelation is not sequential, if you've just grabbed revelation after revelation, and you miss a particular foundational revelation, the enemy uses that as a loophole to bring you down.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. Eh?
Amen.
So, which brings me to one of the laws that I think is very vital for you. If you could listen to this audio over and over again, make sure you do. And I've never said that since 2015. When this ministry started. Okay? Now, but I'm telling you that today.
Amen.
That there is a principle law that I'll start with called the law of the mind.
Amen.
The law of the mind. The law
Amen.
Of the mind. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 78 and verse 41. Psalms chapter 78 and verse 41. Quickly. It says, ye, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. This scripture is one of the scariest scriptures to me. The reason is because we know that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 that all the stars, all that power that is up there, he created it just like that. And yet this particular scripture says that God can be limited. In all his power, somehow, a man can limit the operation of God on this earth. But the question then is, how? You see, there is a rule. Everything that you see in the natural realm, everything that you see in the natural realm that is permanent was created twice. First in the spirit, and then in the natural. I say again, everything that you see that is permanent in the natural was created twice. Anything that you see that existed in the natural and disappears didn't have a previous existence in the spirit. And that's why the Bible refers to what we call the temporal things. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So everything is created twice. First in the spirit, then everything. Let me take it a little deeper. This is not the first time I'm standing before you today. Now, if you can get that, you get it. I say again, this is not the first time I'm standing before you today. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is a law of the mind. The Bible says, actually, the worst thing that a Christian can be is to be double-minded. It's impossible for a result to stick if you are of two minds. Now listen to me carefully. The Bible says you are of a body, soul, and a spirit. The spirit is the true you. As you know, you've heard this enough. But you see, the spirit cannot operate with body because they exist in different realms. There's a realm of body which is physical, and there's a realm of spirit. For a person, for something spirit to interact with body, it must have soul, which is mind.
Amen.
Yeah? Now, many people do not know how to transact in the spirit and bring what is invisible into the natural. And yet the channel is always the mind. I say again, some of you think you know this, but I'll tell you, if you knew, you'd be getting instant results. Now let me tell you that to transfer something from the spirit, it must first go through the mind. Now the mind has three aspects. It has thinking, envisioning, and imagination. All three are different. Thinking, envisioning, and imagination. All three are different. Now, I want to restore to you Genesis chapter 11. Take me from verse 3. I have to be quick today. I want to touch a number of things. This is the Tower of Babel, as you know. The Bible says, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Verse 4. And the Bible says, and they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see that the city and the tower which the children of men builded. It's past tense. Okay, go back. God comes down to see a tower which was already finished. Yes? Now, very important here, because I know some of you know this, but now, God comes, the Bible says, in the mind of God, in the realm of the spirit where he has been, he came to see the tower that was already finished. Verse 6 then says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one, all one language, and this they begin to do. Now he's talking in the natural. Are you going to get what I'm saying? In the spirit, he comes to see something that's finished. In the natural, he's saying this that they're beginning to do. So then we know, and I find this chapter extremely interesting because the Holy Ghost is not mentioned there, and neither is the devil. The chaos is strictly men's minds. Strictly. Okay. So scripture says, and he says, nothing will be restrained for them, which they have imagined to do, as you know. So there was something that they were doing as they were one accord, that they built something in the spirit and it was finished. Now, I was explaining to someone last night, and I was telling them that many people struggle with prayer. Many people struggle with prayer. But they do not know that there are actually two dimensions of prayer. The Bible talks about, in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, he says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above. Amen.
Amen.
All you could ever ask or think. Another version says imagine. Now, right there are two dimensions of prayer. There's the dimension of asking and there's the dimension of thinking.
Amen.
Please hear me carefully. That there are prayers you make that you haven't said. There are results currently in your life now that are as a result of a prayer that was made in your mind.
Yes.
Whether you knew it or not. Let me take it a little deeper. The Bible says, Jeremiah 33 verse 3. It says, call unto me and I will answer. That is the dimension of the mouth, to speak. Call. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Those two coincide. Call, ask. But Isaiah says, Isaiah 65, he says, before they call, I will. At what point is God hearing that prayer? Up here, in the mind. You're with me? Now, if you understand that principle, you then realize that the devil does not need to attack you physically. He just needs to plant failure in your mind. Why is he doing that? The reason he's doing that is because if he can just obstruct the channel through which spiritual can manifest to physical, he has got you.
Yeah.
That's why some of the greatest miracles in the Bible were when Jesus encountered madmen. Are you with me? Because once a person is mad, the channel of spiritual to physical has been totally cut off. In fact, they're not only useless to the spirit, they're useless to us. Oh, God. You get what I'm saying? That's why some of the most powerful miracles are when Jesus got someone who was mad, cast out something and brought him back to his senses. The Bible says, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There is a mind. Peter speaking, 1 Peter 1:9, he says, for the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul, your mind. The end of faith is the salvation of your mind, your soul. Now what he's saying is that ultimately, the desire of God is to get your mind to such a place where it's so consumed by Christ that 1 Corinthians 2 becomes true. We have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
There is a law of the mind. It seems simple, but many people allow things to disrupt. So there are things around you on earth now that are currently, and I tell you, your prayers go before God twice, before the throne of the Lord.
Yes.
There are prayers that have gone before God's throne that you know nothing about.
Yes.
Your prayers. Yes.
Yes.
Now, let me explain to you. I was explaining to someone that most people, when they do what they call meditative envisioning. Meditative envisioning, in its true sense, is purposeful. So you've sat down and you've said, I have to create something in the spirit. But there is a dimension of meditative envisioning that I call dreaming, daydreaming, that many people actually discount, but it's powerful, and I stumbled upon it. You see, God often, now please understand, often does not want a mechanical person.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, now I need a car. I sit down. Hey, look at the picture. Day and night. Do you know that if you understood that when you daydream and you sit there and see yourself in a car, you're not being mechanical. Are you with me? And the Bible says it was as though we were dreaming.
Amen.
And that's the place of before they call, I will answer. You must learn to daydream your dream.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the living God.
Amen.
Am I speaking gibberish?
No.
I'm not speaking gibberish. Praise the Lord. And so you begin to understand that many people I have found over time have allowed the enemy to plant failure in their mind. And it's literally impossible for you to yield the result when your mind is not at one with your mouth. Let me say it this way. It is actually better for your mind to be at one with God and your mouth isn't, than your mouth to be at one and your mind isn't. If there's anything like that. You rather think right. Huh? Praise the Lord. That is the law of the mind. And I've really done, because I could actually do an entire teaching on this. I've made it quite simple. But there's an entire teaching, the things that the Lord has shown me that can actually create almost 1 hour to 2 hour instant result. Instant. And you know, some of these things, you stumble upon them and you say, am I the only one who knows this? Okay? I told you there were men who captured secrets in the spirit. And today, there are men who capture them, but they're stewards of them. Now, which brings me to the second law. Once in a while, I'll tap on the first one, which brings me to the second one. The law of men. Amen. There is a law called the law of men. And this one, please pay attention. Because I know some of you have come with points of contact. And all of them can be sorted before I finish. Amen. Just by what I'm teaching you right now. Amen. Not prophesying, just what I'm teaching you. Amen. The law of men. Now hear me carefully. The Bible says that Jesus Christ grew in wisdom and stature and favor both with God and with men. It is an ignorant, silly statement for someone to say, all I need is God. I'll say it again unapologetically. And I'll prove it to you in scripture. It is an ignorant, silly statement for a person to say, all I need is God. Because we know based on scripture that when God intervenes in the affairs of men, he uses men. So let me take you through a record. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3, actually from verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. Verse 4, he then says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You've heard this scripture over and over, but listen to me carefully. The psalmist somehow stood somewhere and began to ask himself, what is man? He doesn't ask who. Ah. He doesn't ask who. He's not looking at personalities, characters. He says, what? What is man that you are mindful of him? Then he says, oh, the son of man that you should visit him. Now, listen to me carefully. You must learn to understand the mystery of men. And by men, I'm including both men and women. Eh? Huh? You must learn to understand the mystery of this. The Bible says that when the Israelites were in Egypt, God sends a man. Doesn't send an angel. Huh? You with me? He sends a man to deliver them. Scripture says that Jesus, the Son of God, 30 years in ministry under a closed heaven, but to enter an open heaven needs a man to baptize him. The Bible says that the man says it shouldn't be like this, and he says, let it be like this for now. You guys. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that a man called Elisha, the Bible says that a general called Naaman is suffering from a disease, and he's sent to a man, not to angels, not to God, to a man. And the man tells him, wash yourself 7 times in the river and you shall be cleansed. But even the mystery is this, that Naaman, even when he went to Elisha, he didn't go by his own accord. The Bible says a slave girl told him, there is a prophet called Elisha. So someone next to him had to tell him. Praise the living God. The Bible says, do you know that prophecy is actually dependent on men? The fulfillment of it. Scripture says, listen, the Bible says it actually names people. There are people named in scripture. Cyrus, Isaiah 45 is named. The Bible says Jesus is named before he comes. John the Baptist was named before he comes. So there are people, their names are given before they show up. But listen carefully. The Bible says, when prophesying about someone who give birth to Jesus, the Bible says, a virgin shall give birth. It doesn't say Mary. Are you with me? It says a virgin, meaning it's an open prophecy and someone needs to posture. Okay, let me explain. Let me take it a little deeper. The Bible says that one shall betray Jesus. It doesn't say Judas. The Bible says that he shall be buried in a tomb. It doesn't say whose tomb. Are you with me? So somehow these guys capture. You can posture yourself for a prophecy in scripture. And I'm telling you, that means you can look through scripture and say, the Bible says the brightness of your shining. And you say, this is about me. Listen, scripture says that he that finds a wife, not an angel, he that finds wife finds a good thing and obtaineth favor. It doesn't say angel, doesn't say even God. Scripture says, by the way, I can do this all day. Scripture says, the Bible says, that if it says, a faithful man, who can find? That's the question. It says then, a virtuous woman, who can find? Somehow there's a search in the spirit for such. The Bible says, now here's the mystery. It says that the devil, in the book of Jude, is arguing with Michael over a dead man's body. Dead man. There is a secret he knows, and one day I'll teach on the mystery of the body. Because you need to understand that there's a reason. It's not just your spirit that has a value. Your body has some sort of a value on here on earth. There's a reason why a palm reader can look at your thumb, at your hand, and tell your future. There is something in your body that speaks about tomorrow. That's why you see some witch doctors and so on who tell you spit on the ground, they mix things and tell you your future. Why your spit? There is a mystery of the body, yo. And it's actually the reason why the psalmist asks, what is man? Because somehow he looked through and said, man, there's something here that I'm missing. Because he realized that God, in all his supremacy, has no vulnerability except when it comes to man. Because constantly he would say, I'm leaving you. I'm letting you to your sin. Then comes back, oh man. The only time God shows vulnerability. Only time. And then you're sitting there saying, I don't need any man. All I need is God. Who lied to you? Ah, praise the. Praise the living God. Eh? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man? That thou should visit him. There is a visitation that happens to men. There is something about being a man to the extent that Jesus was not useful to the earth as God. Oh Lord. He had to come as a man. The Bible says, a body thou hast prepared for me. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, I believe. A body thou hast prepared for me. Christ comes. He comes not only as a man, dies as a man, resurrects as a man, and is in eternity forever as a man. Amen. God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the living God. Amen. And you say, I don't need men. I don't need anybody. All I need is this. Yeah, you're not saying that anymore. There are people that shortcut their miracles because they disregard vessels. Now, I say without repentance that not all men are equal. And by distinction, hear me carefully, there are some men that when you come before them, your prayers are answered. Now, I'm telling you this, hear carefully, that there are men, especially spiritual men, just by the privilege of being before them, your prayers are answered. I haven't said, and hear me, and they cut across the men and women of God all over this earth. Now, listen. You haven't said, man of God, please pray for me, man of God. No. You just in their presence. Answered. There are people, if you could just stand before them, it will be a sign to many that God has favored you. Men, not angels. Men.
Amen.
You guys. Eh? Yeah. Eh? Praise the living God. Amen. Men, not angels. And I say again, not all men are equal. Let me tell you. Here's the reason why God will bring specific people your way. You're holding points of contact if you have. Yeah. And hear me carefully. Often God will answer your prayer through a man.
Yeah. Amen.
God will bring you a blessing through a man. Yeah. A person you're seated right next to, a person that you just walk down the street and you find, God will often, let me tell you, my father, my spiritual father, very prophetic, powerful in the spirit, but when he's leaving the country, needs men to help him at the airport. Why doesn't he send angels? Yeah. Every man who has started a ministry needs partners. Because you can't achieve a destiny absent of men who have bought into it. And so God provides these men to drive the vision. And you can't say, I'm going to do this on my own. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you. Hey. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. We're going to read it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 to 11. Scripture says, irrespectively. Now listen carefully. It says, give me. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now hear me carefully. The distinction of this scripture actually means that there are people on the face of this earth who do not have a gift of a prophet. You guys, they don't have a gift. He gave gifts unto men, some. Then he says, to some I gave a prophet, to some an apostle. There are people out there who don't have a genuine apostolic thing. They don't know it is. It's just existing in the back of their heads. They're wondering, I wonder what an apostle is like. Are you with me? So God gives men, and it actually, verse 12 is an interesting one, because it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gives men. Gives them. I don't need a man. Huh? Target? Deep things, eh? Also hurting things, eh? No, they're not hurting. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this. You see, if you look through scripture, the Bible says that a man called Jacob goes to a guy called Laban, stays there 14 years, and the Bible says, because of one man, 14 years of blessing.
Amen.
One man, a guy just goes, stays there 14 years, and is blessing for 14 years, one man. The reverse is true of Jonah. The Bible says he's on a boat, and it's rocking, and the guy's trying to find out, why are we almost dying? One man. Now, Some people, sometimes your chaos is caused by just one chap who's not supposed to be there. One chap in your life is you're supposed to just get behind me, Satan. Do you know that when demons are going to operate, when the enemy is going to operate, for example, if you came here, if everyone on earth was taken away, say by rapture, and you stayed one person, and all the shops are open, all the cinemas are open, all the water open, do you know that fear would disappear? You're not worried about demons because they use men. I don't know if you're with me. So you're alone, all of a sudden fear disappears. All these things that you talk about, you see the devil, even occultists, in order for someone to operate, for the enemy to have witchcraft on someone, he needs a man who's willing to give himself. There is the law of men. The Bible says, I'm going to tell you the implications of when God sends men, the reasons why he sends. There are people that God sends your way for the very reason because they carry wisdom, strategy, and ideas. So God brings them your way because that's what they carry. The Bible says, if I remember correctly, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, doth not wisdom cry? This is an understanding. Does it not peruse its voice? Understanding put forth her voice. Now, they are personified. Wisdom is personified. Understanding is personified because they've come in the form of men.
Amen.
You guys.
Amen.
Because if I asked you, Proverbs says wisdom cries in the streets. You go to the streets there. See if you can see wisdom crying. Are you with me?
Yes.
So, they are personified. God sends specific men at a particular time. Sometimes what you need is not a prophecy. You just need wisdom. You just need a strategy. And one day when I teach on wisdom, I'll teach you. Wisdom, the Bible refers to the manifold. It has different dimensions of wisdom. There's an aspect of wisdom that is directive. There's an aspect of wisdom that is strategic. Okay, let me explain. It is, say, you're a remnant. You wake up one morning and you go and you say that I'm going for a job interview. You go for the job interview. They ask you, introduce yourself. I'm a remnant of God. Now, hear me carefully. While there's one aspect of broadcasting, you must realize that there's a place of stealth. The enemy is not going to allow you in his company when you just announce who you are. You go in by stealth, rise up, start recruiting. And that's how you take over. That is wisdom.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Huh? The Bible says that a man called Jethro comes to Moses and gives him wisdom on what he should do. There are men who are sent your way. Right now, you're busy looking for a rabbi to give you a prophecy when all you need is a man who is wrapped in something you might not know but has wisdom, strategy, and ideas.
Amen.
Secondly, when the Lord sends a person, he sends a man to endorse.
Yes. Yes.
Now, please understand that there are men who stand in certain places in the spirit whose endorsement you need to enter a certain door.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, the Bible says Jesus, the Son of God, is taking a walk, and John the Baptist stands and says, behold the Lamb of God. That's an endorsement.
Amen.
Are you with me? Why? Because John the Baptist had people who are looking up to him. There are people who have built reputations over time whose endorsement you need. And the moment they just endorse you, you don't need to fight. There are men who can just stand and say, I get my clothes from that one. From that day, you're no longer broke. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are people whose endorsements you need. Listen. Benny Hinn, a few years back, Benny Hinn was preparing for a crusade and needed 10 million, and there were 3 days to go. Benny Hinn had gone on television, set a thing, told people to give nothing, 10 million blank. He then calls Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, old. Now, please understand, it was a televangelist thing, these telecasts where they ask for money. Benny Hinn talks. The last 3 minutes of the show, they wheeling in Oral Roberts. And this is what he says. Please help Benny. He needs money. 24 hours, he had 15 million. Now, I'm telling you, there are men, if they endorse you, she were there. Now, it's true about business. It's true about all the desires that you have. You just need certain people to endorse you. And that is why I tell you, that is why you need favor of men. Amen. Because true favor is not the amount of money that you have.
Amen.
It's the hearts of men you hold.
Amen.
Jesus, the Son of God, needs a donkey. And sends for it from a man who is not mentioned in scripture. But somehow he had favor with men. May God give you favor with men.
Yeah.
That you walk into a building and someone just says, ah, you know what? I like you. Let me tell you, as a person who has understood spiritual things, there are people you will bind and remove and dethrone. But there are people in the spirit who stand on a gate that you cannot bind, remove, dethrone. You just have to pray God makes them like you. I'm telling you, listen. Bible says, Proverbs 16 verse 7. I'm quoting a lot of scripture. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. What does it say? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Even them, they're at peace. They just, that's what you need. You see, you can have favor with God, and you grow spiritually, you get dreams, you get visions, and there's a blessing upon you. But if you don't have favor with men, this is the realm of men, you can suffer with your favor of God. Hey, I've told you. You can suffer in the realm of men with your favor of God upon you. Every time you ask the Lord, Lord, I want to enter the spirit world. Every time, God, you have favor with God, but you lack favor with men. And that's why you must understand that when it comes to endorsements, you must realize that when it comes to endorsements, a man in the spirit must have built a reputation and has authority over specific groups of people. There are some people, their ministries will go instantly the moment a man just says, go to this guy's place. If you look through history, all the ministries, take for example, if you look at men like T.D. Jakes, if you look at people like Paula White, all of them, a man called Carlton Pearson gave them a platform.
Amen.
Juanita Bynum, one man.
Yeah.
And their careers, or should I say their ministries, were birthed from just that one pulpit opportunity.
Amen.
One.
Amen.
There are some pulpits, if you just stepped on them,
Amen.
Like this,
Amen.
You never go back the same.
Amen.
Angels bow. Amen. Human beings say there's something about that guy.
Huh?
I endorse you, eh?
Yes.
You endorsed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
You need men. Scripture says, listen, this is how important it is. It says that your prayers can hit a sealed heaven if you have unforgiveness for a fellow man. A fellow man? Unforgiveness. It doesn't even say you kicked him. It doesn't say you punched him. It doesn't say, no. It says just feeling uh-uh. And a sealed heaven. Then it says, before you come to me, first go to your brother. Eh? A man? And somehow the Lord has understood that you men actually need each other. By distinction, we all do. Do you know? I have to drill this one in. Do you know that you can have someone who's rich, wealthy, or in the spirit, someone who's powerful, is spiritual, operating in miracles. Huh? But if your parent does not release you for marriage, or let me tell you. You see, the Bible attributes, it says this. It says, your father and mother, honor them, and you shall have long life. Yes. Long life is attributed to father and mother. It doesn't say natural. Yes. It could be also spiritual. Yes. Yes? Now, say you have some mentor somewhere who's top-notch. Bad news. He speaks over your life, speaks. But as long as the guy standing over you has not released, you're wasting time. Yes. I'm telling you. So you go, this is a higher grace. My problem is this, let me go. Take all my salary. And yet you sit under an anointing. Listen, you guys, I'm telling you, and it's the reason why some people's results just block. They stop. Often when I meet people, I can discern what the issue is. Yes, look, this one's the problem is. Okay. So God can, the first thing I said, God can send a man because of what? Wisdom. And so on. Then I said the Lord sends a man because of endorsement. The Lord can send a person because of prophecy and impartation. Now this is where you need to be very serious. Because you see, let me tell you the truth. There are some people in the spirit who stand in certain places and who carry certain things. Now, this is for people who want to grow wealthy. I was explaining to people who, last night, I was with some guys who always shout, billionaire, multimillionaire. And it's okay. You decree it, you're being formed into it. And I was explaining to them that the highest place in the spirit of wealth is not ownership. It is stewardship. Stewardship means, the moment you realize that this thing is actually not mine, I'm just holding it for someone, the favor increases on it. I'm telling you. So that car, as much as you want that car, must speak a message beyond you.
Amen.
You guys.
Amen.
Does God want you to live a good life? Oh yes, but not absent of Him.
Amen.
And that's why many men, that's why, listen, the Bible says, He maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. That kind of wealth is attached to people who get money, but it's not absent of the testimony of God. Okay? Now, which brings me to prophecy and impartation. Hear me, the highest place of prophecy I have learned over time is when you land upon a man and he speaks something in your life that was supposed to happen 10 years later and it happens tomorrow.
Amen.
Actually, the principle in scripture is by this time. It's one of the superior realms of prophecy. Not every man can just do that. Now you can decree it, but for a man to drag something 10 years ahead and bring it to now, that man is operating in another realm.
Amen. Amen.
There are men like that. Listen, and often it's not just one man. Often God can bring you people who are stewards of things. Actually, we call them kingmakers. People who have kingmaker anointings upon them. Sometimes, listen, Saul anointed David, but was not a king himself. You understand? So sometimes someone who has an anointing to get you to where you are does not have the thing themselves. They actually appear like they're useless. But yet they carry the thing. I was reading a story a man of God was telling me the other day. Actually, I wasn't reading. He was telling me. And he said that one time he found two old ladies around the, somewhere. And they were buying maize. They were buying maize, so he comes to them and says, Mama, let me buy for you the maize. So he buys the maize. It wasn't that much money. Buys it. The moment he buys it, the woman turns and speaks and says, may you walk upon gold for the rest of your life.
Amen. Amen.
And this is not someone hoping to say. Someone who knew what they had. He said from that day, his finances. Just an average lady along the street.
Amen.
Your guy.
Amen.
Average lady along the street. And releases an anointing. Listen. Dangote. Richest African on the continent.
Amen.
All right? But the story is he meets Ida Hossa on a plane. Actually, he doesn't meet him on a plane. He's on the plane. Ida Hossa asks for someone to give up their seat. Dangote, a young man, then gives up his seat. Ida Hossa speaks and says, poverty you shall know no more.
Amen.
One man. I don't need men. All I need is... Eh? One man with a good thing on them. Eh? Now people are very interesting. They're telling me to share my good thing. Eh? Okay? And so you begin to arise. Now, I've told you, what was the first law? Law of the mind. The second is the law of men. My time is... My time is almost up. Because I'm telling you, even if you just learned to master those, because what you need then, the Bible says we no longer regard men according to the flesh. You just need to discern the person who God has sent. Because the moment you pray or think, the answer comes. That is scripture. But often it comes in form of a man. May God open your eyes.
Amen.
Okay? Do you know, let me tell you, this thing often messes me up. The Bible says that David, actually the Bible says Saul is rejected as king because he ignored a man. Imagine, one man, Saul ignores Samuel. And he does what Samuel is supposed to do and God rejects him as king. David receives a grace because he listens to a man, a prophet Nathan. A man. Actually, the thing that messes me up is this. The Bible says, that when God rejects Saul, he doesn't go to pick David right away. He keeps quiet. Then scripture says he comes to Samuel and says, how long shall you weep for Saul? That means God could not do anything until this man sorted himself out. Then sends the man to go and pick David. That means everything was at halt until Samuel sorted himself out. Do you know sometimes the Lord can tell me, and this is why you need to learn to hear voices of the Spirit. Because there are men you can come to and say, mpasente, please give me some money. And until they have heard the voice of God, they'll just look at you. Because it's not every time you give. Eh?
Yes.
Yeah. There's something for seed and something for bread.
Amen.
But hear me carefully. There are men, I'm telling you, you'll go, you will beg, they'll look at you. And they wait for the Lord to speak. There are times the Lord has woken me up late at night and said, I want you to give this person money. And the reason I give, and I've done it, I've learned to make it as a culture. And the reason I've done that, I've found, the Lord actually gave me the secret. He says, when you do that, you open someone else up to do it to you.
Yes.
But you're there saying, me, I'll only give to this one person. Who told you? And this is why some of you shortcut other avenues. Guys. And so you must learn to release the Spirit of God and allow Him to speak to you and let you know. Do this. Because when you do that, you open a door for something else. Stop trying to logicalize everything. Yeah. Praise the Lord. There is a law. Or should I touch this? Huh? There is a law of knowledge. Hear me. I think I'll even end on this because they are a number. And all these, I'm calling them laws because they're keys in the spirit.
Amen.
Once you master them, I'm telling you, you will never lack results.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you will never lack results. There's a law of knowledge. Now please hear me carefully because this one is very crucial. You know that there are many, the Bible talks about Jesus being the truth. And it says, I will send you a helper, a comforter, and he will guide you, the spirit of truth, and he will guide you in all truth. That's what the Bible says. Now, hear me carefully. The reason why the Spirit of the Lord has to guide you in all truth is because you have to arrange it precept upon precept. You don't just randomly pick a truth. You guys. Huh? He has to guide you precept upon precept. Now, there are people in the Spirit who are ignorant. Ignorant. They don't know. Then there are people who know. Then there are people who know sufficiently. There's what we call sufficient knowledge, knowing just enough. Let me explain. You see, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Huh? Any man, the moment you think you know, you actually don't know. Why? Because, let me tell you, the sign of the Spirit of knowledge on someone, the sign of the Spirit of knowledge on someone is the moment everyone thinks they know, but they feel like they don't. That is the sign of the Spirit of knowledge upon someone. Pop! Because you see, the more you get to know God, the more you want to know Him. The moment you say, I've reached, you're in trouble. And this is why it's very important for you to understand that there are people who are ignorant. But our problem, most of us here, our issue is not ignorance. Our issue is lack of sufficient knowledge. So you know something, but you just don't know all there is or enough of it. So take, for example, if power went off in this room and I lit a match, the light would be there, but it wouldn't light the entire room. It's not sufficient light. Are you with me? So you need sufficient light. Actually, the Bible uses analogies. It says, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. It's referring to knowledge. Are you with me? Because ignorance in Scripture has a connotation of darkness. So take, for example, Scripture says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's a transfer from ignorance to knowledge.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? One, this thing is extremely, extremely, extremely crucial. Because you see, the thing is this. Men rise and grow in the Spirit, level to level, by secrets. I guarantee you, you cannot grow to the next level in the Spirit. We call them ranks. I'll teach on that someday. You cannot grow to the next without capturing a secret. I'm telling you.
Amen.
So you might be like some person out there who knows Jesus loves them and so on and so forth. But that's not enough to make you grow in the Spirit. There are things that are secrets, things that promote you in the Spirit that are secrets. To capture those things, you need to be around men. Now, there's a man called Smith Wigglesworth, a healer, evangelist. When he was about to die, he told his spiritual son, Lester Sumrall, he said, this anointing that I have, a man gave it to me. Another man gave it to him. And another man gave it to him. And he said, now I'm about to hand it to you. Don't you die with it. Don't you die with it. Find a young person you can transfer it to and put it on them. Bam!
Amen.
That means there's no one who just randomly just wakes up one morning and says, for me, I've come out of nowhere. No one. No one can randomly say, I've come out of nowhere. Because in the Spirit, and this is what I call spiritual lineages, I've taught on it, that every one of us here is aligned to a spiritual lineage. So, take for example, the anointings, there are no new anointings on earth here. Every anointing traces itself back to the Bible.
Amen.
There are no new anointings. So, Billy Graham can be traced back to Philip the Evangelist. You don't wake up one morning and say it's a Billy Graham anointing. You can call it that, but it's traced back to Scripture, the original. Now, everyone here, there is no one who does not have a spiritual lineage, an alignment. And often when the enemy attacks, he attacks like he did the original. That's why the Bible says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. What he's talking about is when I know my call, I not only know that I'm called to be fashion, I also know the anointing that is upon me. And because in the Spirit there is no male and female, a male person in Scripture can be upon a female.
Amen. Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Okay, so let me explain. Quickly. Let me explain. You see, there's someone, they're not here. And because they're not here, I can say it. There's someone, by the Spirit, I told them, they have a Solomonic anointing upon them. And by that, I could tell, they have a business anointing. They're always thinking about money. Huh? But then I could also, without prophetically seeing, tell that they had issues with women. Okay. I told you the devil attacks the anointing like he did the original. There's a person who sat with me 2 years ago, came to me, gave me their story, and I told them, there's an anointing upon you. I told them, tell me my story, their story. And what happened was, well, they told me a man of God who I trust told them, I see there's something about Job on you. He had a wealth, but had lost his son, lost his property, lost, can you imagine? Now, the reason why that happens, it doesn't have to. The reason why it happens is because the Bible says, it says we are not ignorant of the device. The person is ignorant, the devil takes over. Let me tell you, in line with knowledge, the degree to which you are ignorant is proportional to the degree of the influence of the devil in your life. The degree to which you're ignorant is directly proportional to the level of the devil's influence in your life. And that's why I tell you, because many people will come. Listen, many people come and say, Rabbi, and this is why you need to understand that the prophetic is very attractive because it seems to be a shortcut. Are you with me? So, I need a husband. Okay, I need a job. So, you seek prophet this or you seek to someone who has a gift. Now, the moment you seek the person, they give you a word as per the Lord. What the prophetic does is two major things. It either opens a door that was closed or opens or directs you to an open door you did not see. Those two things. Now, you are silly if you think it's going to do its homework for you. That's not how it works. So you come, man of God, just pray for me, just touch me. There's a degree to which that does something, then the rest leads you to seek. I'm telling you, to have knowledge and allow the Lord, that's why when you come here, I feel there are some people who have underutilized this teacher. Underutilized. A year ago, there were people who were with me, a year ago, who were seated in a room. It was fellowship. And I said, I beseech you, watch me. And the reason I said that was because pay attention to me while I'm still close enough for you to ask, how did you do this? Because a day comes when you're looking for me and you can't find me. Then you say, I'm feeling sweet. Remember what I told you. Never undermine a person even though they don't look like they have the thing. Because fear a person who has finished something in their mind. Fear them. Fear that person. They might look broke, what, but in their head, they're billionaire. Fear that one. Because it's just, the Bible says, I will send you the Spirit of Truth. He'll show you things to come. That means what the Lord does is he goes into your mind, shows you the future, then drags your body there. So someone says, Rabbi, no, I was telling you, so I was standing here and I told these guys, you guys, watch me. I remember there's a time, there's a lady, I don't know, is Barbara around? She's not around, eh? Barbara is around. Barbara told me something, I'm going to say it. Eh? She told me something sometime. She said, the first time she came for fellowship, I think it was the first time, here, I picked her out and prophesied and she was like, huh? Nah. Disappeared for 3 weeks. 3 weeks! Came back, and this is her testimony. It's like you are a different person. 3 weeks! But you see, some of us, it was finished in our mind. Me, I can prophesy. Amen. You understand? So just because you're seeing me now picking up a wrong name does not mean I'm not yet there. Amen. Eh?
And for her case, it took 3 weeks. I came back and said, Naigwe, this guy. This is the guy who prophesied to me. I was hitting miss. Some people were there joking, just giggling and saying, Naigwe, stick to teaching. The devil is tempting you. Are you with me? So now I walk into a room. I don't need to see you. I just have to know who Miss Riza. Just, do I look like I'm struggling? Ah, praise the Lord. Who's Alan? You're Alan? Eh? Okay. Who was born in November? Huh?
Yeah.
What month were you born?
September.
24th?
No, 27th.
Who's November?
Me.
Okay, we're going to finish. Okay. But I won't forget. Okay. So, now, there are things we're chasing in the spirit, I'm telling you. The other day I stood and watched a man saying he can walk on air. I said, Lord, I didn't sleep that night, the night after. I said, no, the things that keep me awake at night, you see. I'm turning, the person next to me said, Nego Badechi. The things that keep me awake at night. A man is walking on air and is not just theoretical. The devil is tempting him to step. Yes. Oh, Lord. No. So I went back and I began to hunger. This is why you must know. The first step to enter the deepest things of the spirit, you must agree and accept, I don't know.
Yes. Amen.
These things of, I mentioned John 3:16, and you're like, I already know what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm telling you, the moment you do that, you cannot receive from a man. Now, as I wind up, let me tell you, because there are many things I could have said. When a person has terrible character, huh? Because I can assure you, there are men with terrible characters, there are men who are proud, men who are crazy, men who are foolish, men, there are many. Some of you know them. But a person's character does not stop you from receiving what they have. It doesn't. Because the posture is yours, not theirs. The day you learn that, you will start ignoring the imperfections of men. You say, men are imperfect. But when a guy has a good thing, me, I'm going to position myself and get it. Now, you have Lord, what's the time? Ah, it's time up. It's harvest time. Now we have to finish. We have to finish. There's some married people here who need to go back to their husbands. Next time they'll bring their husbands here. Praise the Lord. Now, tomorrow is a public holiday. Isn't Saturday always a public holiday? Anyway, so I've declared it in the spirit. So you must understand that there are realms of knowledge, there are things that I've grasped, there are degrees of seeing. I wish I don't have time to tell you about the law of territory. There's a law of harvest. Lord, there is a law of worship. All these things that you can apply, there's a law of anointing. All those are things that actually the Lord told me, apply these keys and slowly you begin to see results. You're not becoming mechanical. You're tapping into them. So for example, harvest. Take for example, harvest. You realize, and we were with some men yesterday, they're not here, but the Lord showed something. Because you see, when a man of God decrees and says, this year is a year of harvest, and you sit back and say to yourself, the year is ending, how many things have I harvested? You say, wife, zero. Say, child, zero. Now what? Zero. Now, and then you say, maybe I harvested a car, I got like a small promotion, but that's not a truly great harvest, is it?
Amen.
And you need to understand how the Spirit of the Lord does things. when he decrees something over a time frame, he's looking at it being finished in the spirit.
Amen.
That means you go, enter a hotel and say, I'll own you. That's how you're harvesting. That's what we actually mean. Because the harvest is not only something natural, it is spiritual.
Amen.
You utilize the season by spiritually aligning yourself.
Amen.
So you go, you say, I have a husband. You pass by, you see your type, you say, oh Lord, have mercy. Many of you think you have not harvested because you're looking at just the natural. But the number of times we released and said, receive a new job, and you said, amen. In heaven, it's added. Your harvest is truly great. Praise the Lord. Eh? I have to finish. One day we shall touch the other things. Eh? There's a law of encountering God. And before a man begins to combine precepts and methods, they must first encounter God. Once you encounter God, he then can guide you in the rest of truth. And that's why I'm telling you, that's if you fake it to make it, eh? This kingdom doesn't work with fake it to make it. Eh? You do the real thing. Yeah? Irrespective of the situation, and it will come through. I believe it. I believe in a God who can heal. I believe in a God who can give finances above and beyond. I believe in a God who can open any closed door. I've seen it work. I can assure you it can work for you. I refuse to say that the God who was mighty is stuck to the Bible, is stuck to ancient people, and is not working in my life. I'm telling you without a shadow of a doubt. The other day I demonstrated before my wife. I sat next to her and I said, Kat, I'm going to show you. And I told her, give me 15 minutes. So I began to daydream 500,000. Not envision. Yeah, you guys, okay. Not 500, no. I was like, now if I had this money, what I would do was 1 hour. Someone sends me a message. Man of God, I don't know where you are. I'm sorry to disturb you. Disturb me. Disturb me some more, please. I just wanted to give you 500,000. No, it's okay. You see such people? It's not hard. Whatever I'm doing, I just say, let me come back. Praise the Lord. Eh? There are secrets, guys. Eh? And if you apply the laws that I've given you, I've tried to make it as simple as possible to get you to a place to understand that the Lord, please, choir guys, come up here, that the Lord wishes you and desires for you to have results. It is the church in this dimension, in this dispensation. There are secrets, there are depths, there are heights, there are dimensions, there are realms in the spirit. And if you hunger, I remember the Lord told me last night something that stood out for me. He said, the Israelites could not approach the mountain, but one man went up there, came down with his face shining, and whoever looked at him partook of his experience. And then the Lord said, if you will seek after me, your generation will look to you. And it's the truth for everyone here that if you seek after God, because the things I'm telling you, I could give you a prophecy, but it's not homework. It's not what instead you have to learn to hunger and nurture it. And you begin to see yourself walk in things that you've never seen before. Huh? I was with some men of God the other day and someone was trying to pull a fork. It was the most hilarious thing I'd ever seen in my life. Trying to pull. But at some point you laugh, you come back 3 years later, and the guy is doing it, and you think it has come out of nowhere. And so you must learn to push yourself. I'm telling you,
And this is why I'm telling you that utilize me as a teacher in this fellowship. Not looking for me, eh? But I'm talking about here. Because I'm not teaching, there's things that people don't know I can do. There are people don't know. I could just show some few of my friends who gave me a few days break. But there are things people don't know I can do. The other day I was praying in the spirit over my balcony which looks at the lake. Yo. I just had to put it out there because I don't know when I'll put it out there again. Yo. Huh? Yeah, so yeah. I was overlooking the lake at some point. So at night, at midnight, I was just there. Those are the prayers that are comfortable. Neither these ones are. May God upgrade you to a house in the name of Jesus. A house of your dreams in Jesus' name. Anyway, so the other night, I'm busy meditating. I'm praying, actually. I was just praying. That's why the reason why some of you can't pray. You see, eh? Man of God, I can't pray. I try to pray. Tell me about your house. Anyway, so I'm seated out. It's around midnight. There was lightning, there was thunders, and I was praying in the spirit. And I realized how far the Lord had brought me. Because I was praying, it was dark, and I saw someone jumping on the roofs. Now, at first I thought, nah, it's midnight. And it was someone supernaturally jumping from roof to roof. And so, I thought I was crazy, but I've been in this thing long enough to know that when I think I'm crazy, I've actually seen something. I've been in long enough, eh? So, I see this, then the Lord begins to show me. And I saw many people, someone would just say, why am I praying? Let me just go to bed. It's like, I'm seeing men jumping on, what? Nah, I need sleep, eh? So the Lord begins to show me and shows me that this is actually not a demon, it's not an angel. Someone in the area had projected their spirit. They had gone out of their spirit and there's someone demonic. Anyway, so the Lord was teaching me a number of things. Eh? And so I realized that over time, from the first time when Barbara came and was like, ah, this guy, eh? From that time, eh, the Lord was showing me that you've come a distance. Eh? I remember one time we're in fellowship here and the room was full. It was another room. It was full and there were people standing behind. And I kid you not, I looked and, just like I'm seeing, there were people standing behind. And so I was teaching, seeing people standing. Then all of a sudden, there was a particular person who was at the corner. Black shirt, jeans, normal guy. So I finished ministering and I said, okay, now it's time to prophesy. And because the room was so packed at that time, I expected him, when I was looking at it, I expected him to say, excuse me, because I saw him walking out. I saw him walk through the people. Then I realized all this time, this was not a person. Now I have learned to compose myself. So I just, praise the Lord! Otherwise, if I was like, you guys, there's something here. All of you just jump up and say, man, nange! Hey guys, we've gone through this. Anyway, so the Lord takes people step by step and he was showing me how you can grow your singing and all these things. One day I'll touch on some of this stuff. Praise the Lord. Eh? But these are the things that keep me awake at night. These are the things that keep me awake at night. Praise the Lord.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.